And now back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. It's called What's Toxic and What's Not. It's been missed for a while. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist segment, is back after some time off. Good to have you back, Dr. G. You were missed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. But I'm sure you guys covered the toxic stories because we can't let the public be ignorant about toxics.
No, Dr. Mike did a terrific job covering those in your absence, but it's good to have you back here on the show weekly as well. So, yeah. Home Depot, what's the situation with Home Depot? They've got an issue here?
Well, you know, first of all, when you go into the hardware store, you really should think about reading the labels because there are a lot of products that when you, as soon as you get them out into your car, they are technically a hazardous waste, and you can't just pour them down the drain kind of thing. You have to bring them to your town's household hazardous collection day. So with that as backdrop, Southern California has some of the worst air quality in the country. In 2012, they failed their ozone criteria 115 days of the year. And what's contributing to that, they believe, is all the paint and the coatings and the sealants that volatilize or off-gas, evaporate from them, these chemicals that contribute to air pollution. You know, you don't think of when you're putting paint on the outside or the inside of your house that it's going to go into the general airstream and lead to ozone, but that's exactly what happens. So we've been cutting back as a society on the amount of these, what I'll call VOCs or volatile organic chemicals that can be in things like hairspray and on furniture polish for about a decade now. And that's to preserve our lungs in the summertime from ozone. But Home Depot has just fined $10 million for selling paint, basically, and varnishes and that kind of thing, that off-gas too much. So just the fact that they didn't, that they still offered for sale some of the high-emitting products, they got fined. And I don't think they're going to get fined across the country. This is a very, very touchy subject in Southern California, including L.A., which does have the worst air quality in the country. But they got slapped down there. But what's fascinating to me about this is that the store was held responsible. So, you know, you can have the manufacturer that makes this stuff responsible. But really, where California stepped in was at the point of sale and saying you shouldn't be selling products that are going to be the equivalent of several million cars on the road. That's what these paint products add up to, the equivalent of the volatile emissions of several million cars just in Southern California alone.
No.
Anyway, I think the bottom line of the story is, you know, you're breathing, your nose is breathing in these volatiles too. There are studies in painters that have neurological damage from breathing in these volatile chemicals. So one really wants to pick low-emitting water-based paints and solvents. Never, never, never use something on the inside of your house that's intended for exterior use, because that usually means it's got more solvents.
Well, Dr. Mike and I seal our driveways every couple of years. Dr. Mike, you concerned about that? I think you were when we were talking
about
it. Yeah,
I was wondering, what should I ask about, and what do I need to know about this?
Okay, so it's really good that you guys are concerned, because it's both a broader environmental issue as well as a personal exposure issue. There's two basic kinds of driveway sealant. There is the creosote or coal tar-based, and then there is the asphalt-based driveway sealant. The asphalt-based is relatively low in what we call polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Just remember the term PAH. PAHs are pretty potent carcinogens, and you don't want to handle those directly. You don't want to be putting those on a driveway in which it's going to crack and degrade. And there have been studies done. This is the shocking thing to me, that these products are still on the market. The coal tar-based ones have shown that they become turn into dust over time, and that the homes right next to a driveway or parking lot have higher levels, statistically significantly 3 to 4 times more PAHs inside the home, in the carpeting, on the floor dust. So kids and pets are going to be exposed to what you're putting on the driveway. So what you want to do, Mike and Joe, is use the asphalt base, not the coal tar base. Asphalt base works just as well. It doesn't give you as high a shine. But, you know, if you're worried about keeping up with the Joneses in terms of the shine, you know, get a nice edge in there. But don't get a really shiny black driveway with the coal tar. You're going to get your own personal exposure. And when that runs off into the storm drain, that pollutes also the nearby creeks and rivers, and the fish get it.
So when you have your driveway sealed, they tell you to stay off it for a week, and then, you know, yeah, and you start using it, walking on it, driving on it. But you're probably still bringing it into the house by walking on it even after a week, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, the week period is just to let it cure properly. But after, so there's an immediate exposure when you're sealing it because, you know, on a warm summer night, those fumes are coming right off into your breathing zone. So you're getting some exposure there. But the exposure that I'm more concerned about is over time, over the course of the next several years, as it slowly degrades, it's creating a dust that blows right into your home that's enriching your house with a basically with a carcinogen.
All right. So before we shake you loose, Dr. G, how about telephone poles and drinking water? What's the story?
Yeah, well, this is related to the last story. Actually, all my stories tend to tie together because it's all about what's toxic, what's not. But, you know, when we're talking about creosote and coal tar, what they used to treat telephone poles with to preserve them so they wouldn't rot and fall. You know, nobody wants a telephone pole to get all mildewed and rotting and then fall on some car or fall on your house. So it is important to have a preservative in the telephone pole. But it's just a matter of where these telephone poles are put and what kind of preservative. They used to use coal tar-based, and they were too toxic. You know, surprise, surprise. So they got rid of those, and now they're using PCP-treated telephone poles, by and large, throughout the country. That's pentachlorophenol. And the problem that was discovered in Vermont recently is that if you have these poles too close to a drinking water supply, like your own house private well, it could contaminate the well with level, and this, you know, PCP is also a carcinogen and causes a bunch of neurological problems, and it can leach. So these poles have impregnated in them this pesticide, basically, but it can leach over time, percolate, find its way down to the water table, and then get into nearby drinking water wells. And the problem is increasing, we think, because they're trying to site power lines and telephone poles further from trees, and so they use it, tending to use road right-of-ways instead of woodland right-of-ways, and along roads tend to be houses, and houses could have the well, you know, right by, right there. So if you've got a line of telephone poles, you want to make sure if they're putting those in near your house that it's not near your well. You always want to be testing your well anyway for things like PCP and other chemicals to make sure that what you're drinking is as clean and pristine as is healthy.
And the good thing now, a lot of communities are building now, Gary, are going to underground cables, so they're not
exactly
even putting telephones up, telephone poles.
I know. Hey, when we got a snowstorm 2 Octobers ago and we lost power for 2 weeks, it was like,
yeah,
okay, I'd rather not have you cut down all the trees in my neighborhood.
Right.
I'd much rather have you put the lines underground.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not? Get to his website. You'll find things there that are toxic, and you'll find things that aren't. So some things may surprise you. What's toxic.com is his website. You, the Owner's Manual radio show, right after the break. It's Dr. Arthur Perry, and they'll be on, Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry, on with the Straight Talk from the Docs. And you cannot leave the show today until you hear Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week. If you miss a guest, you miss a segment, you miss a Real Age Tip of the Week, you really don't miss it. If you miss a show, if you're away, you never miss it. Just go to RadioMD.com, and you will very easily find what you need to hear. And we thank you for listening every week. UDocs@gmail.com, UDocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.